Today, I'm going to talk about Jonah. Jonah is one of the most favorite stories since our childhood. I will be surprised if you have never read the story of Jonah. Did anybody else do not know the story of Jonah? No. Okay. I believe this is the most interesting story since Noah's Ark. Okay. Noah's Ark has every animal, but Jonah has only one big whale. And that is a close encounter with whales. Unlike Noah's story, the animal just went into the ark and nothing else. But it is really a close encounter. It's almost too close. So there are actually children books or even devotional books named Jonah and the Whale. And you may even have one at home. Anyone have a book like that at home? Jonah and the Whale? Maybe it's still in your some of the cabinets. You have not taken out yet. So, huh? No, it's actually a book, Jonah and the Whale. I saw it everywhere, actually. As you grow, we realize the big fish is not a whale. And more, the book of Jonah may not be even about Jonah. No. The book of Jonah is actually rather peculiar. All of the prophets, like what we have studied for the past 8 months, there are some stories, but mainly oracles. Now, what is oracles? Oracles means God's warning, comfort, promise, and judgment. And usually, oracles are long, okay? They are not short, okay? They are not too short, which means God's warning. But if you look at Jonah, it is a book composed of one very short warning. It's on. Wait. Okay. One and only one oracle. And it's so short and succinct, is that yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay? Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's all. Okay? Unlike all the other prophet books, it has only one short and sweet sentence. Not very sweet. Okay? Now, so it is a story of Jonah and the whale, or what is Jonah all about? So it is not about God's oracles. It looks like it's Jonah's story. But as we look further, what is Jonah all about? Jonah is not at all like any God's prophet. And the book of Jonah is not at all like a book of prophets. All prophets recorded in the Bible are obedient servants of God. Look at Hosea. We spend so much time to talk about his obedience. He married a prostitute 2 times, Gomer. God loves his people, I know, and I understand. But did Hosea really love his wife, Gomer? I always have a question mark in my heart, despite the fact that the scripture seemingly says so. Then he gave really ridiculous names to his own flesh and blood. Yet Hosea listened to the word of God and did it obediently. But then, look how Jonah responded to God's word. Now, please pay attention to the word arise. Okay, now God spoke to the prophet, Hosea 1:1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea. Okay, and then Hosea obey. And then we come to Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And then, and 3:1, Jonah 3:1, which is the halfway of the book, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Actually, both times it's the same word. Okay, unlike Hosea, you tell him something, he'll do it, and God tell him some other thing, and he'll continue to do it. But Jonah, first time, God told him to do something, and then the next time, God came unto Jonah, the second time, but he was telling him the same thing. Okay? What is this all about?
He said, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. Okay, let's look at chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh,
the great city. Is it the same thing? Exactly the same thing.
But
then we have to look at, we have to pay attention to the word arise, or rise. Okay. God told Jonah, arise, but
what did he do? But Jonah rose. Now, God told Jonah to rise up, to arise, and he rose. So, but Jonah rose up.
But
God said, go to Nineveh, the great city. But Jonah rose up
to flee to Tarshish.
And then it said, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh.
Okay, it looks like the second time Jonah obeyed. But there's a twist. Whenever God talked to Jonah, Jonah either disobey or give it a twist. Because, like we have said,
God actually asked Jonah to go to Nineveh to proclaim
their doom. And I believe God might have told him to talk more, but all he said is one thing.
Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown.
Okay. And after that, he went up to the hill and looked down to the city and say, okay, I want to see whether you die or not. Okay? When the city did not die, and what did he do? Then I die. Okay? Okay. So
Jonah is not exactly very obedient. So you see, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, but to Jonah this seemed very wrong,
and he became angry. This is exactly what Jonah did. So
the next thing is
he went to Tarshish.
And he went to Tarshish is very interesting. Now, you look at it, after he arrived, go to Nineveh, the great city, but Jonah, there's no but in Hebrew. Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish.
And then, if you look further
along, from the presence, it's supposed to be 1:3. I don't know why I have 3:2 down there. From the presence of the Lord, so he,
instead of rise, he went down
to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it.
So God told him twice to arise, and he chose to went down.
If you look at the map, you look at Nineveh, it's on the north, is on the on your right side, is on the east side of the map. And then, is it? Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I thought I didn't turn it on. And then if you draw a straight line from Joppa to Nineveh,
Jerusalem is approximately in the middle of the line. Okay, actually, it's not a straight line. It should be a curve.
But anyway, it will do. Okay, it's approximately between in the middle of Joppa and Nineveh.
So actually, he's supposed to go to northeast, and he went
directly to Tartessos.
It's at the far end, the west end. That's where we are at, West End.
Okay.
Tarshish and Tartessos is the same.
So, if you look at it, God told Jonah to go to northeast, and he went to the far west. And as a matter of fact, if you look at it, the dark part of the map is the sea. It's the Mediterranean Sea. And Tarshish is at the southern tip of Spain, And beyond Tarshish,
it is the Atlantic Ocean. In Jonah's time, no ship can sail beyond Spain. They are not able to sail on Atlantic Ocean. Because if you continue to sail on the Atlantic Ocean, it will be America. They did not have the technology then. So Tarshish is the farthest west Jonah can go. It's the farthest end Jonah can go. So it's like I tell you, you go to east, and I go to as west as I can be. This is how it works with Jonah.
And of course, he went down
to Joppa because Jerusalem is on a hill. So he went down to Joppa, which is a harbor, to hire a ship. Actually, when you say pay the fare and went down into it, Jonah spent a fortune. He's not saying he paid the fare of his journey. He said he paid the fare of the ship. So he actually hired the whole ship to go to Tarshish. Now, it will explain why nobody bothered him when the ship hit a storm. And he has to come up and say, I am the one who caused the storm. So Jonah went as far as he could to go away from God. In short, in order to make the story short, we shall turn to the end of the book. This is one of the few books in the Bible to leave the end of the story hanging there. Now, we know the book of Acts is obvious because it leaves the book open-ended to suggest the missionary journey will go on. But Jonah, how did it end? How did it end? In chapter 4, Jonah has 4 chapters, and it has only 11 verses in chapter 4, so it's clear enough. In verse 4, 3 to 4, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. The Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? Now, the first thing that happened by the end of the story is Jonah wants to die. Okay, if the people of Nineveh did not die, why don't you kill me? Then I die. Okay? It obviously is not conversation. If you don't die, I die. Nobody in good terms will talk like that. And then afterwards, after the day, Jonah went up to the hill.
God sent a plan that grew up
and then become a good plan. A plant that can
shade him under the sun. So, but God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day and it attacked the plant and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life.
Now, did God want Jonah to die? Obviously not. I say, if you want me to live, then I'll die. Okay?
And then come to the end. This is the last words. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh? That's what God is saying. The great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals. It's almost done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
just want to make sure it doesn't. Yeah, okay. Now this is
the end of Jonah's story. This is the end of Jonah's story. Does it have a conclusion? Not really. Did the story tell you what after God saying that, and what's Jonah's response? Did he repent? Did he get angry even? Or did he die? Anyone of one know what came after Jonah? Nobody knows. So this is Jonah's story did not end there. But whose story end there? God's story. God has already told Jonah what he really wants. And what does the book of Jonah mean to me? The book of Jonah is unique in a way that all other prophets are bidding God's command to do great things for God. But through Jonah, we can see very plainly, Jonah did not do anything right. Did he do anything right? No. God told him to go to the northeast, he went to west. But want him to be the prophet for repentance. He didn't do his job right. There's only one oracle, one and only one oracle, and most likely he blew it, but God did the thing. Why did the people in Nineveh repent? It's very likely because in the historical record of Assyria, during Jonah's time, there was a day that is a full sun eclipse. In ancient Near East, a full sun eclipse means doom. So when Jonah went there and said, yet 40 days, this city is doomed. And coupled with the eclipse, people trembled and they want to repent. God could have done it with anything he wanted. He did not really need Jonah. Jonah was basically doing what is opposite of God's mind. God is doing his work in spite of Jonah. God could have done it by himself. In a sense, Jonah is more along the wisdom literature than prophet. The only real right thing Jonah did was his prayer in the belly of the big fish. Comparing his prayer in chapter 2, we cannot believe that Jonah inside and outside are just two persons. Yet it is so true. Out of our own misunderstanding, pride, or whatever, we mess up everything. Even though we may be Christians, we may even be good Christians, but yet there is certain pride, and there is certain misunderstanding, and there is certain bias in us that prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. Did Jonah really know God? He knows. He knows who God is, and he knows what God is doing. And he knows that God is full of mercy. God is always willing to forgive. God is all ready to forgive and bless. But he did not like it when it is done to his enemy. Jonah may know God, but at the same time, God knows Jonah. It is a story about God and about a Jonah who did not know God well enough. God can do in spite of us, but nevertheless, a person like Jonah, God will still use. He can use even me. And God can use in spite of me, because he wants us to join him. God wants us to join him in his ministry, not because we can help God, God wants us to join a ministry that we may know him. Time and time again, God was trying to teach Jonah a lesson. That this is the lesson that Jonah may or may not have learned. We did not know. We do not know. There's an open-ended story. But this is the story that is going to be complete by you and me. After God has said that, what shall we do? Are we going to be like Jonah, or are we going to learn from Jonah? Read carefully the book. It is really not about Jonah, it is about God. Jonah is the guy who brings out God's doing, even unto Nineveh. Jonah is a very different prophetic book, but Jonah is not very different from us. And God bid us to listen. And this is God's last word. Should I not have compassion to Nineveh, the Greek city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between the right and the left hand, as well as many animals? That's the compassion of God. But that's Jonah's problem. But what is our bias? What is our problem? God is going to speak to us today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word, and thank you for bringing us all here to worship you. And this is a time to worship you because you are worthy of our worship. Even though we are not worthy, or maybe we are like Jonah, and sometimes we may be like Hosea, but most of the time we know who we are. And that's a last word from God to us. How are we going to respond? And this is an open-ended story for us to complete. Lord, help us to complete your story. You have sent out your command. You may send us out to be an ambassador to this neighborhood. You may send us out to the uttermost end of the world to serve those people there. And also, you may also just ask us to serve among our own people. What is our bias? What is our preference? But Lord, help us. Help us to seek out your preference. We seek out your guidance, that we learn to obey. And Lord, we ask you and pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.